Aleph the Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, Lamed Shvat, Friday the 4th of February, Rabbi Lippa Rabinovich Shlita, insights into Parshas Terumah.
First of all, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. I arrived late last night. One of the problems of traveling is that you don't know exactly where you put your things, and so I lost my notes. So I had to scribble a few things this morning from memory, and I hope that will be acceptable. I understand that the theme of my talk this morning is on insights into Parshas Terumah. Now, the first thing about Parshas Terumah, the Torah says that we can raise money and build a base on Migdash, build a Mishkan, the also Orim. First thing is the Orim. The Torah talks about all the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, or Kelim of the Mishkan, before talking about the Mishkan. The Orim. You've got the Shulchan, and you have Mizbech HaZoch, you have Menorah, all mentioned in different places. The Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, Mishkan itself was a temporary building, and these were the articles, the furniture of the building. And the first one is the Aron HaKodesh, which was the receptacle for the Luchos HaBris. Now, the Milchas, the Rambam, in his Minyan HaMitzvahs, when he enumerates the various mitzvahs and comes to the mitzvahs appertaining to the Mishkan, talks about the mitzvah to build a Mishkan. Asuli Mikdash. And together with this mitzvah of actually building a Mishkan, the fabric of the Mishkan, he includes all the various kelim which were in the Mishkan. In other words, the Mishkan, to make, erect a Mishkan, build a Mishkan, erect a Mishkan, is a mitzvah. The menorah is the same mitzvah. It's included in that mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah on its own. The shulchan is not a mitzvah on its own. It's part of the mitzvah of the Mishkan. Mizbeach is part of the mitzvah. Mizbeach is part of the mitzvah of the Mishkan. And he enumerates them. But he omits to mention the Aron, which would indicate that in the opinion of the Rambam, the Aron HaKodesh is not to be grouped together with all the other pieces, to use a common phrase, pieces of furniture, if Cholila you can use that phrase to describe the menorah and the shulchan and the mizbeach. But the other isn't mentioned. It's not one of the pieces of furniture of the Mishkan. And it's not included in the precept of making a Mishkan. So it would seem from this that the Rambam is given a unique place to the Aron. It's different from all the other things. Mishkan had various kelim. It had the Aron as well. But there's a significant difference between the kelim and the Aron. The kelim are part and parcel of the fabric of the Mishkan. The Aron not. When the Torah says build a Mishkan, it includes the kelim. So the Aron is something different. We also see the similar idea in Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, when the Rambam devotes a chapter to the mitzvah Moira Migdosh. Moira Migdosh, it's Migdosh, Eter Oil. The Torah tells us that we have to, fear is not really the word, respect the ultimate, the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Moira Migdosh. Not to do anything which would be unsuitable for such a holiest place on earth. Moira Migdosh. Among the things the Rambam includes in this perek of Moira Migdosh is that one should not try and copy, based on the Gemara, of course, should not try to copy the articles which were in the Migdosh. Use them as a template. You say, somebody will offer to say a shulchan exactly the same as in the holy Mishkan of years ago. Cholila, cholila. Then you're over on the Isur of Moira Migdosh. You have to ultimately respect the Migdosh. You can't use it as something to copy. A good, interesting, and attractive shulchan. We're going to build shulchanas like that. We'll sell them at some exorbitant price. No. Neither. The Rambam also includes the Heichal itself. The size of the Heichal. You're not allowed to build a building of exactly the same dimensions as the Heichal. You're not allowed to build a building with the exact dimensions of the Azara or of the Ulam, and so on and so forth. There's one thing which the Rambam fails to mention, and that is the Ulam. Doesn't mention it. Mention menorah, yeah, of course. We're not allowed to make a menorah of 7 branches. That's what we're not allowed to do. 6, yes. 8, well, of course. But not 7 branches. But he does not mention the Ovel. We would think that of all the kedim in the Beis HaMikdash, if you're not allowed to copy and use them as some kind of a template in order to create something attractive, that the Ovel. All the dimensions are given to the other. He doesn't mention it. I think what we can see from the Rambam is that he considers the Oror in a different way than we would consider the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach. All those are pieces of, to want of a better word, pieces of furniture which go to complement or complete the Mishkan. Without it, nothing. You've got a shul, you have to have shtenders, you have to have tables, you have to have chairs, you have to have whatever it is. All that is part and parcel of the shul. So the menorah is part and parcel of the base of the Mishkan. And the mizbeach is part and parcel of the Mishkan. Not the other. It's not pure furniture. The Oron is, if you want, I would use an example, the resident of a home, the resident of a house. It's not part of the house. It's not part of the house. It's not a piece of furniture. The house is made for him. He's the occupier of the house. But when the Rambam talks about Moira Migdosh, he does not mention the Aron, because Moira Migdosh is talking about the Migdosh. The Aron is not the Migdosh. The Aron is not part of the Mishkan. It's the resident in the Mishkan. The Mishkan is for the Aron. When the Rambam talks about Moreh Midrash, he talks about things which constitute the Mishkan. Constitute the Mishkan, not the Ark. When the Rambam in Hilchos, in his Minyan HaMitzvahs, talks about the mitzvah of the Mishkan, and includes all the other Kelim, but excludes the Aron, it's because it's not part and parcel of the Mishkan. Honestly, Tim, honestly, different altogether. Which leads to an idea. I'm talking to Ben Teira many years ago. I mentioned the Mama Chazal, Miyom Shechora Beis HaMikdash, Eino La Kodesh Bochu El Adal Adam Asher Alocha. In the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, a Kodesh Boko is nothing else, no other place, but Dalet Amos Shalach, where you learn Torah. And so what emerged from that is, it's not that this is replacing a substitute for what was at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It means at the time of the Beis HaMikdash that was exactly the same. Because even at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, a Kodesh Boko's home, the Mishkan, was the home of the Mish of the Oron. Then also was the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. But if there's no Oron, there's the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. But it's not a substitute for that. It's exactly the same thing. So the Mishkan occupies, the Oron occupies a special place and perhaps changes an aspect of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the home for the Torah. There's a very, very intriguing Meshech Chochma, Parshas Re'eh, who he brings there that he was asked a question which initially caused him concern. We know that at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to bring korbanos in a bomber. When the time of Mishkan Shiloh, you couldn't bring korbanos in a bomber. Chorev Shiloh, when there was a time between Shiloh and Yerushalayim, Shiloh and Noiv and Givoin, then you could bring, and we find in Tanakh that they brought korbanos even in a bomber, because only in the Mikdash or Mishkan, not at the time of Chum Shiloh and Noivigim. And he was asked by one of his Talmidim, apparently, he said, there's a posuk at the beginning of Shoftim, the Sefer Shoftim in Tanakh, in which when they came to a place called Bochim, it was called Bochim because of the events there. And that took place very much at the beginning of the settlement of Eretz Yisrael, the time just before the death of Yahushua, after the death of Yahushua. And the passage says there that they came together in order to have a Yisroelis, and they broke Kabbalahs. So the Talmud says there was Mishkan Shiloh there. How could they bring Kabbalahs? Oh, the bombers were awesome. And so, as a result, it seemed to be that this question, which was asked to the Mishnah Chochmah, if you read it carefully, triggered a whole train of thoughts in the Mishnah Chochmah. And he explains how he understands it, based on a Tosefta, the end of Zvachim. And this Tosefta tells us a very interesting thing, that they had to have bombers, which we know, we've learned in the Heta bombers was a time of Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't bring out the korbanos after the core of Beis HaMikdash, you could bring korbanos until Yerushalayim, when you couldn't bring after that, it was finished. No longer could you ever bring it in a bomber. We did in times. He said, it all depended on when the Aron was in the Mishkan. And that he brings the Tosefta. He says, if the Aron was in the Mishkan, then the Mishkan had a din of Mishkan, you can't bring in a Bava. When the Aron was not in the Mishkan, then the Mishkan had a din of Bama Gedoyla. It didn't have its Kedusha, and therefore you could bring in Kabbalah in a Bama. As he brought quotes from a Tosefta, the end of Zvachim. And so, the reason why, at the time of Shiloh, you couldn't bring Kabbalah in a Bama, that was because there was the Aron there. But since the Aron was captured by the Palishtim in the days of Eliakoyim, and it wasn't state Palishtim and their base Oyved Edoim, until Shlomo HaMelech erected the base of Migdosh, all that time it was either there or no, forgiven, whatever it is. At these times, the Aron was never in the Mishkan. The Aron was separate from the Mishkan. When the Aron is separate from the Mishkan has the black seats kedusha, and therefore is permitted to bring in. And by some wonderful detective work, I can only use detective work, the Meshech Chochmah discovers that at that time of Bochim, from other Pesukim in Tanakh, at that time of Bochim, the Aron was not there in the Mishkan. It's intriguing to see it. So the Aron with the Simmons, a different picture arises. The Aron, the Mishkan is the home for the Aron. Home for the Aron. And it says, V'asur li migdosh v'shachanti b'soicham. You can say, the Torah is manifestation of Hashem Yisbarach in this world. The home of Hashem Yisbarach. Following on the same theme, we come to an idea. It's a very well-known idea, but it's worthwhile mentioning. The context of what we're talking about. The Reb Shamshon of Paul Hirsch remarks on the fact that the Aron had badim, which had to be there permanently. Now, badim are in order to carry the whatever it is, the Aron, the badim of the Shulchan. Well, why lo yosuru mimeno if they were resident then in the Mishkan, and a badim should be taken out, should be stored somewhere. When you have to move it, you take the badim, you put them in the Aron. Why lo yosuru mimeno? He said the idea is this, and it fits in very well with what we're talking about. The Aron, its home is the Mishkan. But it's not like a piece of furniture where it's not got a home, not got a building, it's not got its place there, it's nothing. It just is in Chassidus. If it's not in the Mishkan, it's outside. But it's transportable. The Aron and the Torah is not confined to the Mishkan. The Aron and the Torah is still with us today. It's not a piece of furniture. It's there, transported. It's a home. Torah goes with it. Maybe not the Aron HaKodesh, but everything which the Aron HaKodesh represents. And I'm saying the same thing. It occurred to me, and I'll share this idea. We find in Tanakh that when Am Yisrael went to war, they used to take out the Aron with them. And in the times of Eli, they took out the Mamash the Aron, not with the Shibrei Luchos, but the Mamash Aron HaKodesh. And other places they took out the Aron HaKodesh. They took them to war with them. A very strange thing. When you go to war, you take how many tanks you've got, and planes you've got. Well, you take the Aron HaKodesh. On the contrary, you should leave the Aron HaKodesh behind You're defending it. You're protecting it. You're fighting for the safety of the people. You're fighting for the safety of the Aron HaKodesh. The last thing you want to do is to bring the Aron HaKodesh and to jeopardize the safety of the Aron HaKodesh by bringing it into the war. So it occurred to me, is there an interesting Rashbam, which I once saw in, I believe the Rashbam is in the Bava Basra, towards the end of Bava Basra. He poses the question, when we say the business Hayom, was greater than the business Mitzrayim, right? Which raises the question, how could the business Hayom, what was the business Hayom? Business Hayom was, well, the riders, the Sheshmi, Yisrech, and Bochu, where was the millions? Where was it? Where was that fortune? The business Hayom greater than business Mitzrayim. Business Mitzrayim means they looted the whole of Mitzrayim. And where was business Hayom? Horses? Chariot? Whoa. Where's the business Hayom? What, gold, little gold trinkets they had? Whoa. I mean, what is it? Where's the business Hayom? The greater than business Mitzrayim? It poses a very intriguing question. And he says it was the way, the habit in ancient times when nations went to war, is that they used to take out the royal treasure from the treasuries and bring it with them to the war. For what purpose? For a simple purpose, because soldiers in the war sometimes lose heart and just try and run away and escape and look after their own particular life. That's one of the dangers in war. One of the dangers in war in those times was that the soldiers would lose heart and refuse to fight and escape. Look. A little safety. But if they bring the whole treasures of the king country with them, which meant that if they don't fight and succeed in the war, it's not only they've lost whatever the war, they've lost everything. The whole national treasure is gone. So give them heart to fight and to stand the ground, because they've got a lot to defend. You retreat, they expose all the treasures of your country to the enemy. That's what the Rashbam says. In a similar vein, the Jews go to war, they take their national treasure. Their national treasure is the Torah, the Aron HaKodesh. They will fight for the Aron HaKodesh much more than it will fight for the gold and silver of the treasuries. That's priceless. The Aron HaKodesh, it's with us. Aron HaKodesh signifies Klal Yisrael. Let's follow the same theme. I have to finish at 9 o'clock. Look. Well, I checked. No. The Gemara in Gittin, it says that based on a pasuk in Daniel, the pasuk runs as follows, or almost as follows: Yishkod Hashem al ro'o, Vayishkod Hashem al ro'o. Daniel uses these words: Vayishkod Hashem al ro'o. Rishbohu hastened the evil. Yishkod comes from a word like shokade. Shkedim, the almonds, the first tree which blossoms. When you do things in haste, fast, that's Vayishkod. Vayishkod Hashem al ro'o, Vayivayahu aleinu. He's talking about the Churban of the Beis Lish. God brought it upon us. Ki Tzadik Hashem Elokeinu, because God is righteous. The Gemara poses, that's a contradiction in terms. If God is righteous, why does he bring then the evil upon us earlier than it should have come? Does it make sense? The Gemara says that what happened was that the Chumrah of the Beis HaMikdash should have happened after 2 years, and happened after 550 years, 2 years before his time. The reason being, this is a penetrating idea of the Gemara, a wonderful idea of the Gemara. The reason being, because just some time before that, as you recorded in the Megillah, there was a Churban before the final Churban, the destruction of the Mishkan, both the Beis HaMikdash, first Beis HaMikdash. There was another Churban, there was another Golos in the days of Yechoniah Melech Yehuda. And at the time of Yechoniah Melech Yehuda, when Nebuchadnezzar invaded and conquered Yerushalayim and took prisoner and many people from Yerushalayim and took them back to Babel, among the people he took back to Babel were what is called Hechorosh v'Hamazder. Hechorosh v'Hamazder seems to be the artisans, the people who can make the carpenters and the locksmiths or whatever. Yeah, you're not talking about locksmiths and artisans. You're talking about the great Talmidei Chachamim. That's what the Gemara says. So he'd taken all the great Talmidei Chachamim to Bavan. And who erected in Yerushalayim in the days of the last king of Tzidkiyahu, who was reigning there? The Dalai Ham. The ordinary people, plain people, without Talmidei Chachamim. Without the infrastructure of Torah. Where were the Talmidei Chachamim? Talmidei Chachamim were in Babel. And they were into this wonderful idea. They were dying out, the people in Babel. They were dying out. And if they would come to wait any longer, wait another couple of years before they go, and they come to Babel, or never hold the Yidden, the poor, the Dalai Ha'am. The impoverished, we're talking about impoverished in Torah. These people would come to Babel. They have nobody to teach them Torah. What will happen? What will happen? It's like at the time when Jews left Poland and Russia, and who left? And the other people left. The Poland and Russia, and they went to America or the East End of London, and who did they meet there? White people like themselves. And what happened with Taylor? Taylor was the last thing they thought about. The main predominant consideration was to make money and settle. And we know what happened. Never. We know the assimilation which happened and everything. Why? Because there was nobody Taylor to meet them and to teach them and to make yeshivas and to make schools. There was nobody there. They came, they met people who they also wanted to make a living. That would have happened in Babel, exactly the same. So, Vayishkan Hashem Alava Kodesh Baruch Hu hastened the Chum, the Beis HaMikdash, in order that when we arrive in Babel, there would be people to meet us. There would be the Talmidei Chacham, they won't have died out yet. So there would be an osid for Klal Yisrael, because if we have not, we have lost the land, we have lost the city, we have got the Torah, we have got Sikha. The Oren goes with us. Lo yasur mimeno. The Oren has got the badim, lo yasur mimeno. It's not confined to one place, it's international, it goes wherever we go. So ki tzadik Hashem alikeinu, Kodesh Baruch Hu was a tzadik. Kodesh Baruch Hu understood what we needed, what Am Yisrael needed for the future to exist, and therefore the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, destroyed. That's not the greatest tragedy in the world. The greatest tragedy in the world will be if the Aron HaKodesh, if the Torah would have been destroyed, it wouldn't have been done. So it's a tzidkus that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, let my Mishkan fall, let my Beis HaMikdash fall. Aviv, when they come to Babel, they'll have Talmidei Chachamim there, we can sit them and teach the Torah. Lo yasuru mimeno, the idea of the whole Mishkan was running for the Aron. Right, the Aron is not an actual fact. We don't have the Aron of the Lord. It's a mitzvah we should be zeicher. The Bias and Mashiach Tzidkenu will be closer. The the Midrash is here, Mehla Yibana Hamidrash, the Hegel Bidomain.
Amen.